what we just sang, that's a prayer for these days, isn't it? Light shine in, illuminate our inward view, help us to see with clarity. For these days, when interest in organized religion is at an all-time low, and yet there is still a hunger, isn't there, for life-giving spiritualities. Shine bright and true so that we may join our songs in new sounds that become full symphony. I grew up in a church where I got the impression, and no one dissuaded me from it, that we all believed the same thing. Until one Sunday, after church, as we were standing around in the sanctuary, a cousin of mine named Adele, she was more like an aunt because she was of that generation, she sang in the choir, and we were standing talking, and she said, "If I wasn't a Christian, you know, I think I'd be a Buddhist." I was stunned. This was like, you know, 1975, 78 maybe. As a teenager, I certainly was starting to have my own doubts, but I never said them out loud, especially not in church. And then looking this direction toward the Jesus we had, who was a mosaic, actually a beautiful mosaic, but white and spotless Jesus, over the altar, she said, "You know, sometimes I really struggle with that whole Jesus thing." I could only think, "You can say this here in church?" Someday I would love to wander around and quietly interview people in all kinds of different congregations and ask them how they understand what's being shared there. Because my hunch is that people are translating and interpreting all the time. And that it's not just in progressive congregations like this one, which, of course, we could be doing more of and more explicitly, having conversations about what we believe and what sustains us, theological conversations, engaging with the stuff of our lives and of the world. I love it when you come and talk to me about these things. I don't mind talking about the boiler or the roof or those things, but I love it when you come talk to me about these things. Our monthly reflections group is a wonderful place for this kind of conversation and connection. And we could have others too, right? A little over a month ago, I mentioned that I wondered if any of you might be interested in getting together for some soul care and spiritual companionship. And a few of you said, "That sounds interesting." Well, I just put it on the calendar. Two Wednesdays this month at 7 o'clock after Vespers and the meal, on not this coming Wednesday, but the two Wednesdays after that, I'd love to gather with anybody who wants to for what I'm calling soul care and spiritual companionship. And if it'd be better for you to have a daytime gathering, we can do that too. Just let me know. Because the spiritual journey can be a lonely one, right? Especially these days, do any of you have friends who wonder why on earth you go to church? Yeah. Wow, yeah. So it's good to have companions if you want to go deeper. I'm grateful to Joanna, who suggested this month's theme, and I'm also grateful to her for saying yes to preaching about her own journey around images for God next Sunday. And I'm looking forward to hearing about her search and journey. And you know, we're each on a journey. There's this natural progression that happens for us, that James Fowler wrote a book about this called Stages of Faith, about the reality that at different ages we see and understand things differently for most of us, not for all, but for most of us, a childlike faith just doesn't stand the test of time and experience, right? And that's healthy, and that's how we grow. Some folks come to this congregation when they feel they've moved past the tradition of their childhood. Others, like my cousin Adele, they stay where they are, and they adapt and they translate as they grow. Like many of you, I am deeply troubled by the conflation these days of fundamentalist Christianity and white nationalism. By the way, women's rights and autonomy are being threatened by so-called religious people. I understand why more and more people are turned off by religion. And yet, there is still this hunger for goodness, for meaning, for connection that consumerism and social media will never quench. Whether you came from a different faith tradition or grew up in this one or came from no tradition at all, I wonder how we are doing here at nurturing and encouraging your spiritual growth. Sometimes I worry that we haven't done enough, that we could be offering more ways to find and practice theology and spirituality, so you can live more deeply and joyfully into these days. We offer this openness here, this invitation, but if you want to go deeper, you know a lot of that is also up to you. You have to do your own work. You hear this call in our first reading from Paul Tillich, who was in his day a public intellectual, and he was a household name in the middle of the 20th century. His invitation to give up traditional teachings and even the name God must have been kind of radical back in 1949 when he published that book. This is not some New Age stuff. It came from a classical theologian 75 years ago. The name of the infinite and inexhaustible depth and ground of all being is God. That depth is what the word God means. And if that word has not much meaning for you, translate it and speak of the depths of your life and the source of your being, of your ultimate concern, of what you take seriously without any reservation. Maybe you even have to forget the word God and everything you've learned. I'm excited for this month when we're going to be intentionally imagining that depth in ways that are nourishing and liberating and life-giving. We can also talk about names that we have for that depth. You know, that little word God is just a name. It's like a nickname. It's like shorthand for that which is beyond our human ability to describe or understand. You may know that Buddhist saying, to point at the moon, you need a finger. But woe to those who mistake the finger for the moon. Our names and our images for the divine are just the ways we point toward that mystery. The mystery remains right here, under our feet, in the air around us, in the spaces between us. I wonder if this is why, whatever your theological orientation, some of us, when we are struck, either by beauty or by tragedy, without thinking, we say, "Oh my God." Our words and our images help to point toward that fathomless mystery. But they are just pointers, just hints and guesses. So can we hold them lightly and even have fun with them? And at the same time, take this search seriously enough that it does help us to stretch and grow, trusting that there will be joy and liberation in that too. We need names for the holy so we can converse and connect about these things. We also need this so we can make interfaith connections, which are so needed these days. And this, of course, can be tricky because what is life-giving for one might be threatening to another. Theological conversation is its own kind of interfaith theology. And it's risky these days, right? So we need to listen and speak with care. We may also need to be careful about who we engage with. Because I hate to say it, but there are some people who are not actually open to dialogue at all. We can trust, though, I hope, that there are riches waiting to be discovered in our midst and in others. As we explore with others, here's what I think. Can I tell you about my journey of faith? As we do this, it is good to remember that this naming and picturing the divine does have its pitfalls. Our words and images are always going to fall short. They're never going to be adequate to describe this fathomless mystery. They're just pointing toward it. So we should be careful to not get too attached to them, right? On the other hand, they can become so familiar and they can be so vague that they lose their meaning. I'm starting to feel that way about the expression, spirit of life. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't. There are times when this thinking and this speaking, this theologizing can all seem like a little too much, right? Maybe you're feeling that way right about now. Times when taking an approach with no names and no images can be a relief. Entering into a place of emptiness, which is a worthy way into the depths as well. There's a kind of praying that's all about emptying the mind of words and ideas and simply resting in the presence of what is. Who among us could use that kind of holy rest? And who knows what might emerge from that emptiness, from those depths. As the poet writes, I was enjoying everything, the rain, the path wherever it was taking me, the earth roots beginning to stir. I didn't intend to start thinking about God. It just happened. How God or the gods are invisible, quite understandable. But holiness is visible entirely. It's wonderful to walk along like that, thought not the usual intention to reach an answer, just drifting. Who could use a little more drifting in your day? Are you getting enough of that? If you ever find your mind drifting during the sermon, don't feel bad. Don't worry about it because your soul is probably taking you right where you need to go. There's not a test. This engagement with the mystery is a holy process. Losing and finding, holding on, and letting go. Forgetting what we need to forget. And remembering. Bringing back into our bodies and our souls fresh ideas and images that are good and helpful and true. Will you take some time this week for wondering and wandering and playing with this? Holding open a space where images of the divine might come to you, or you might just have a blessed emptiness. Will you be open to being moved and being surprised and being blessed by this mystery and this life? Will you trust that you are a conduit for wonder and for holy joy? Dear spiritual companions, there is a river flowing in us and around us. Let us be grateful and glad for it and for these days we have been given. Amen.